Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12. It can be found on page 1763 of your pew books or up on the screen. So let us hear the word of our Lord. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is in encouraging, let him encourage. If it is in contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Continuing in the book of Romans, verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate is what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Blessed be the word of our Lord.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, you love us beyond what we can even think about or conceive. And you have gifted each one of us, Lord, with various gifts. So may this time, Lord, that we reflect on the passage that Henry just read from Romans, be one that reminds us of your grace gifts to us, and to be able to use those for the furthering of your love and grace through Christ in this world. Amen. Have good news and bad news for you. Let's go with the bad news first, okay? The bad news is that there's so much I would like to share about this. Okay, that's the bad news. Okay, the good news is it's only going to take 50 minutes or less. Oh, come on, people. Some time ago, was surfing the the television stations. I don't know what we did without remote control. You know, some of you kids don't think that, you know, that's been a recent invention in that. So, but I was watching the Mets game, I was going to the Yankees game, I was checking the weather, but I came across an interview which really struck my mind one night. And it was about a woman named Ashley Smith, who chronicles a night in her life which was amazing and transforming and also scary. In 2005, Brian Nichols kidnapped Ashley Smith and was on the run from the police after murdering four people. He took her hostage, and the police were hunting Nichols down. At the time, Smith was addicted to crystal meth and sometimes visited church, where she was given a copy of a book, Purpose Driven Life, by Pastor Rick Warren. Ashley Smith, a widow, a drug addict, said her daughter was in custody of an aunt. She was struggling with the meaning of life and vowed that night that she would not continue taking drugs. Nichols asked her on three different occasions to take the drugs with him. She believed that it was Jesus who was asking her through Nichols if she truly wanted to be free. And here's a quote from Ashley. "I really felt like Jesus was asking me for the last time, do you want to be a drug addict, or do you want me to change your life?" And that was a pivotal time in Smith's life. And during that night, Brian Nichols asked Smith to read a passage from Purpose Driven Life and started reading from chapter 32, which is titled, "You're Shaped to Serve God." The reading from this chapter apparently had effect on both of them. Miraculously, Nichols did not harm her and even permitted her to leave the house to see her daughter. Smith informed the police, which took Nichols into custody, and he was sentenced to life imprisonment. Now, this book by Pastor Rick Warren, maybe some of you already read that, but it's affected many people in so many positive ways. The Apostle Paul lists gifts of the Spirit, or spiritual gifts, what are referred to in this chapter that Henry just read a few minutes ago. There's also passages in 1 Corinthians 12, as well as Ephesians 4, that describes the gifts that God has given, the grace gifts the Lord has entrusted us with. But what are the spiritual gifts? We continue on, as Pastor Chris said, with the series, We Are the Church. And this morning, we're dealing with the gifts of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts. Week one, it was We Are the Church, living out our baptism. And then last week, We Are the Church, the work of the Holy Spirit. Now we look further at the point of how does that Spirit manifest itself in my life, in your life, and countless other people, giving abilities, talents that the Lord has entrusted. We need to take heart how the beginning of chapter 12 begins. We are to present ourselves, our very lives, as sacrifices to God, living sacrifices, not dead, but alive. And this is our worship, how we are to serve God and one another. Over the past year or so, much of my energy has gone into encouraging our son with his driving. And I have a short quiz for you. And I critique his driving often, and he critiques my driving too, which, you know, it kind of goes back and forth. But I have some signs that, and I was thinking about this as I was driving back from the retreat fair yesterday, and I thought it would have been good to put more specifics on these slides. Janet, I'm sorry I didn't, but anyway, there's a short quiz on different signs of the road. Whether you're driving or not driving, let's go with the first one. Okay, we could have written stop there. Okay, very good, so stop. Next sign, John. Yield, no. School crossing, right? School's in session, you better stop in that, okay, be aware of that. Next sign. Okay, it's a relatory sign, like for speed limit, for information. Okay, next sign, John. I see some puzzled looks out there. Railroad crossing, right? If you put the X there, okay, all right. We're moving. We don't have too many more left. Okay. All right, how about this one? Uh, maybe we should have graded on the, you know, the curve or something. I don't know. I hear different things. Okay, it's a warning sign, right? Warning. Yeah, beware. Okay, now the last one. Yield. Okay, yield. All right. Very good. All right. But that's the sign I'd like to focus in on just for a moment. Yield. So Henry began reading Romans 12, and the apostle says, kind of yield yourself to God. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To yield, to kind of stop, to kind of look around, to be alert, to be aware of what's going on. That's our spiritual worship. And it happens not only on a Sunday morning, not only happens in the sanctuary here or in the church grounds, but it happens wherever we are in God's world. Our denomination, the Reformed Church in America, has a particular focus for the next 15 years, and it's called Transformed and Transforming. And here's a few words about that particular emphasis. It's radically following Christ in mission together, being led by the Holy Spirit, serving with each other, embracing our diverse world, and striving for a multicultural future, freed from racism, and working with all the partners that God provides as we move towards a fifth century of mission and ministry together. We commit to focus our efforts for the next 15 years on the following the three interconnected strategy: cultivating transformation in Christ, equipping emerging leaders of today and tomorrow, and that includes a lot of the youth, and engaging in Christ's kingdom mission. Now, each one of those points is kind of fleshed out more, and scriptural references are given, and I think it's really important, pivotal time in our denomination, as well as Abundant Life Reformed Church. First of all, the spiritual gifts are different from the fruit of the Spirit, which are listed in the book of Galatians. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. All of us, as God's people, need to experience that more and more. Cheryl, in the class that you were leading this morning, we were dealing with waiting and patience. And we were all saying that we are really patient people. Well, we're not patient people, right? You know, it's hard to wait. It's hard to be patient. It's hard not to kind of, if we pray for something, that it doesn't happen or happen in the way that we pray for. But what about spiritual gifts? C. Peter Wagner, who was a professor at Fuller Seminary and also a church leader, defines a spiritual gift this way: a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit to every member of the body of Christ according to God's grace for use within the context of the body. You know, each one of those phrases and words could be focused in on more of what does that really mean. That, among many other definitions, but really it's by God's grace, the gifts that we've been given. And Paul lists in Romans and in the other places just, I think, some of the gifts. It's a sampling of the gifts in this particular passage. For the Lord's purposes, not yours, not mine, used for God's kingdom. Some persons believe an example of the gift of teaching, a spiritual gift, needs to be conveyed like in a Christian setting. And I think it goes beyond that, that if we're teaching, whether it's in a public school or in a private school, that God is at work in our lives through how we act. And it's not only teaching the truths of God's Spirit, but it's also being the people that God wants us to be. In a survey of several thousand Christians, less than 25% felt that they were making a contribution to the Christian cause in the world. You know, that's pretty staggering. Less than 10% could identify the spiritual gift they possessed. And it said less than 5% were actively engaged in a ministry for which they felt a special calling. In Romans 12, we have some of the gifts listed. You know, there's different gifts amongst those: prophesying, teaching, encouraging one another, serving, contributing, and showing mercy. But how about finding and using what gifts that we have? One of the most exciting times of my life have been going through a process that's called Life Keys. It's been a program of not only looking at your spiritual gifts, but also as, you know, personality and also your values, what's important. And some years ago, I was gifted with a grant from our synod, and was able to lead six groups, and one was a teen group through Life Keys and the teen version of Life Keys, Find Your Fit. And here's the emphasis on spiritual gifts from Life Keys. They say, spiritual gifts are given to us so that we can use them for others. Each of us receives different gifts so that the body of Christ has what it needs to spread God's message of love. The gifts are given for the common good, not for the benefit of the individual who receives them. We are simply stewards of the gifts we are given. The second point, spiritual gifts are given, not earned. The gifts we have are in no way a mark of maturity or how much God loves us. The gifts we have are the ones God wants us to have. Christian maturity is shown not by the spiritual gifts, but by the fruit of the Spirit, as I mentioned, love, joy, peace, and the other things. And finally, God gave us our gifts for one reason, to put them to use. If we, for some reason, choose not to use the gifts God gave us, some part of God's work may be left undone. Therefore, every individual and their unique contribution does count. Wendy, I think you described it very well. You know, you mentioned about the colors. They're all different, and they're all important. You know, one isn't better than the other, just like in the church. Pastors are not, right? We're not over here. We're all together. We're all working together. You know, we have different gifts. Some might be in leadership. Some might be in administration. Some might be in showing mercy, encouragement, whatever they are. A dear friend of mine who's a counselor has a certain mantra that she uses every day, and I was mentioning this in the Sunday morning class this morning, that it keeps her on track. And it's the words of Jesus from the Lord's Prayer that we pray so often. And she says, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Not my will be done, but thy will, God. You know, God, today, what do you have in store? How can I be more sensitive to your leading and spirit? This is not a political endorsement, but recently I saw a scripture reference about Romans 12, which perked my interest. And it was Mrs. Hillary Clinton. And she was at a special celebration at a church that they worshiped at while her husband was serving as president. They were celebrating the bicentennial of the Foundry United Methodist Church in Washington on a particular Sunday. Clinton said that Reverend Phil Wogeman, the church's former pastor who ministered to the Clintons in the 1990s, told her, if you're going to read and listen to Romans 12, you've got to be nicer to the press. And here's what she said. So, to my friends in the press, Clinton said, I will certainly take that to heart. But it's not only, you know, being nice. You know, Henry continued to read on, how do we kind of not only have the gifts, but how do we kind of use them more fully to God? But it's being examples. It's letting love be sincere. And it's not only Mrs. Clinton, but each of us, you know, as believers. My interest really perked when I heard that. Not standing pat, but identifying with others, serving God first. I've given this example before, but the story is told of a man who died and went to heaven. St. Peter met him at the pearly gates and asked to examine his qualifications. We have a point system here, St. Peter said, and only those who have enough points are allowed to enter. Points, the man asked. I don't know about what you're talking about. St. Peter explained, it's simple. We determine how many points you have by the life you've lived. We require 100 points to get in. Tell me a little about your life, and I'll add up your points. The man thought for a moment and said, well, let's see. I was a faithful member of my church for over 47 years. I served as a deacon and as well as an elder, and I taught Sunday school. St. Peter said, very good, you get 1 point. You don't have to be a mathematical genius to know that that's going to be a lot of points that you still need. The man said to himself, oh my, well, let's see, I was a good husband, a good father. I gave a tithe to the church, and I contributed all sorts of charities. I helped with various civic projects, and I served on several committees. Doesn't that count for anything? And St. Peter said, yes, indeed it does. Another point. So 2 out of 50 in that. I still need to kind of go up. I'll never get in. The only way I'll ever get into this place is by the grace of God. And St. Peter smiled and said, oh, that, my friend, is worth 98 points. Welcome. It is. It's by God's grace that we're given life. Sometimes we're kind of wondering, oh, I've been given this, or I don't have this particular gift. Instead of trying to compare ourselves to other people, realize the gifts that we have and use those more fully. The great violinist, Nicola, I should pronounce it right, but I'm not from an Italian background, Paganini, willed his marvelous violin to Genoa, Italy, the city of his birth, but only on the condition that the instrument never was to be played again. It was unfortunate condition for a particularity of wood that, as long as it was used and handled, showed little wear. As soon as it was discarded, it began to decay. The exquisite, mellow-toned violin has become worm-eaten and its beautiful case valueless, except as a relic. The instrument is a reminder that life is withdrawn from service to others, loses its meaning. How can we be encouraging to one another, affirming the gifts that we have, not only in this community of abundant life, but even beyond that? I think yesterday was it was really a good day, and people came up to the prayer wall. You know, people filled out cards. We had some conversation with people, not pressing people, but just reminding them that we will be praying for whatever you write down in the card. And some people revealed more and some people revealed less. But, you know, one way of connecting, and Wilma Vandermolen, who's not here this morning, she grabbed off one of the cards and said, I'm going to be praying. And I know Wilma is one that really prayer is so important. Prayer is important for all of us, but some people have that particular gift of intercession that they really, that's one of their gifts, and to use that more wisely. Many of us have been on various teams or committees, and some are fun and some are maybe not fun. And some of the teams I've played on with sports have been really good. Like Abundant Life Reformed Church had a great season. You know, we didn't win everything, but it was so fun being with those guys, and we really melted together and really were affirming, and it was fun. And also this past Monday at Family Promise outing, I was with Pastor Chris, I was with Mike Cohen, and I was with Mike Hansen, and we just had a great time. You know, we didn't win everything, but just affirming each other, kind of kidding each other, and you know, as a church too, as I look out, you know, I see, I know most of you, and know that God has gifted each one of us, and to be able to use those gifts and to know those gifts. You know, there's different inventories we can take, different tools to kind of get a handle on those, but really would encourage you to look at your life, to read Romans 12 again, to read 1 Corinthians 12, to read Ephesians 4, you know, and say, okay, God, what gifts have I given? And how do I use those? On the cover of the bulletin, you know, we have that up on the screen, the spiritual gifts, that just lists some of them. You know, teaching, exhorting, praying, compassion, ministry, evangelism, leading, assisting. And that's just a sampling again. I'd like to return, as I close, with that book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And I was given this book years ago by a dear friend, Jim Parker. And I don't think anybody knows Jim Parker. I got to know him at the diner. We were sitting at the counter and we struck up conversations. And Jim was very active at the Jacksonville Chapel in Lincoln Park. And we got talking more about faith. And Jim had a lot of health issues and physical problems. And he passed away, I'd say, about 5 years ago. And I had opportunity during the service there at Jacksonville Chapel just to kind of share a little bit about my memories of Jim. But I didn't realize that book that he gave me, he had inscripted something at the beginning of it. And as I was preparing for this message this morning, I never read this or remember that. And I'm not kind of pointing it out for myself, but thinking about how our lives touch each one. And Jim wrote this, and he had difficulty writing with his handwriting, but he said this, Tom, thank you for the influence you have been on my life. You are a true shepherd. May God continue to bless your mission, you and your family, your brother in Christ, Jim. I hadn't read that for years. Like I said, he gave me the book. I didn't even know that was in there. But that God is at work in each of our lives. You know, we don't all have the gifts of music. Trudy, I think of you, Lori, you're back here in the choir. You probably don't want me singing. I like to sing, but, you know, that's not one of my gifts. But to find out. You know, one of my gifts through the years, and it's taken a long time, and sometimes you got to try different gifts and kind of think, well, maybe that isn't my gift, but I'm trying it. You know, and but maybe you can find out, like with mercy or visiting people. And not that I have all the answers, not that I'm not insensitive at times, true I am, but you know, that God has given me a gift of trying to listen, to trying to be with people in difficult times as well as good times. But God at work in each of our lives. The Lord is the potter and we are the clay. The Lord at work in and through you, me, and almost countless others. Pope Francis's trip, I think, has been really monumental. And whether you have difficulties with the Catholic Church or not, and I really believe God is using this time to have many people be touched by the Spirit. And, you know, I think he has particular gifts, you know, of leadership, of teaching, of mercy, and how he comes across. But it's not only him, but it's many, many others. And so God is at work in us and through us. And that we're working as a team. I jotted this down too. I know, Bernie, you're a big Mets fan, you know, of just how they've melted together too. You know, there's different personalities, and some people have more skills than others, but some of the players have kind of decided to play less, or the coach has said that, but that's fine. And the winning goal, that's what the important thing is. And the goal is to have people sense God's Spirit and presence in greater ways. That's why we're here, whether we're young or whether we're older, somewhere in between, that God is at work in our lives, and to use the gifts that we have more fully and completely. God at work in your life, today, throughout the week, and throughout your life here. Let us pray. Lord, surely I could go on and maybe ramble on for a while, but God, you have gifted each one of us with those gifts of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts, whether it's music, whether it's teaching, whether it's leadership, whether it's encouraging others, whether it's serving and being behind the scenes and helping, supporting others, whether it's praying for people. The list goes on, Lord. But help us to realize the gifts that we have and to use those as fully as we can, to trust you more in our lives as we serve you and one another. In Jesus' name, amen.